This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. 877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And in studio for the first part of our show, Roy Fletcher, the seasoned political consultant and lawyer, and Glenn Gilbo, who's been covering LSU sports since the early 1980s after he got his minted degree at the University of Missouri. He worked for Tiger Rag. He's still a featured columnist for the Bible of LSU sports, but his big job is with USA Today Network, and that organization has been the major one as far as breaking the LSU scandal, and it is a scandal. In fact, front page of The Advocate today that we'll talk with Mark Ballard about, he has the story, Law Firm Under Fire as Scandal Grows. But the story beneath it, LSU officials won't testify amid Lewis's legal threats. Now, so far, a suit has yet to be filed, but it is expected to be imminent. At least they're talking a good game, and Sharon Lewis has made some explosive allegations against LSU, where she is still employed as associate athletic director. 10 LSU officials invited to appear before the committee, and now the university is ordering its employees not to show, and that would include Sharon Lewis. Now, she has First Amendment rights and may decide to come anyway, but there is a committee hearing as of now that is still slated in just a bit at the Capitol, led by Regina Barrow, who was with us yesterday. But it's lockdown time at LSU. Daily Reveille, the campus newspaper, has all of the LSU officials who were summoned and notes that on its front page, and notes that none of those who were originally called to testify will be there. Roy Fletcher, you're a lawyer. As I said, these people have First Amendment rights. I don't know how LSU can prevent them from testifying, but they may have lawyers telling them that it's a good thing to stay away. Your thoughts?
Clearly they have lawyers telling them to stay away, which indicates to me that there's a whole lot more serious stuff to come. And the fact is that what we're seeing unfold in front of our face is an issue that is systemic to LSU, not just to the athletic department, but broadly systemic to LSU. It is apparently the harassment and intimidation of females, female employees, so on and so forth throughout that system. And to see that LSU is not trying to deal with this in a way that provides transparency to the public is very, very disheartening to somebody who got 2 degrees from LSU.
Well, what should they do? You obviously don't like the course they're taking.
Well, if they're not going to testify to the committee, LSU needs to make a statement with respect, not to the athletic department, that's what this thing was confined to, but to the entire university. Because there's already allegations out there under Title IX about other parts of this university system. The Chancellor of Shreveport, that was a major story written by Mark Ballard 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whenever it was. And the point I'm making is that LSU is not dealing with this in any kind of way except what looks like an epic effort to cover up. And the question then becomes for everybody is, what did you know and when did you know it and what did you do about it?
Now, these people could still testify. They could defy the order from LSU. And I would think, Roy, you being a good lawyer, that if LSU were then to fire them, they could have a pretty good case for retaliation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't know what's going to happen. But the truth is here is that a lawyer probably told them, and told all of them, don't go. I'm sure, certain of that. I think that there was a letter issued yesterday afternoon from a lawyer that represents LSU or claims. I don't know exactly what the relationship is.
Winston DeCure is the LSU attorney. Okay. He wrote the letter.
Yeah, okay. And so don't go. So that tells me that there's a whole lot more to this story than what has been discussed. And that's one of the problems, Jim. What the hell is going on with respect to a university that's public that is basically saying, we're not going to be transparent about this issue. What we're going to do is cut our losses and obfuscate and stonewall. And that's what's going on. We've seen it before.
We'll get to
and it's never the problem. It's always the cover up. We learned that in Watergate, didn't we?
We've learned it a few times. But we have a case in which if somebody is telling the truth, they have no reason to refrain from testifying. If you're telling the truth and the truth is favorable, now that may be the problem, is that the truth in some cases
here
may be...
That's the whole point I'm making. Guys, we don't know what the truth... you guys better... No. Don't do it.
Follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Follow-up questions is what the LSU people don't want to have to answer.
Well, Glenn, as I noted, it's been a while now when USA Today broke this story, and it is continuing to develop, evolve on a daily basis, and who knows where it's going. But LSU, in its wisdom, has decided to quit talking. And Tom Galligan, who was here, there, and everywhere not so long ago, the chancellor and president, interim chancellor and president, he's suddenly gone away, too. Can LSU ride this out?
I don't think they're going to be able to ride this out with any success. I mean, this is looking at one of the most corrupt cases in NCAA history, or in the history of college athletics. I mean, it's up there. I mean, it's up there with Baylor, and definitely in recent years. And I think LSU just looks extremely bad not attending the hearing. They could attend the hearing today with Winston DeCure or other lawyers and choose which questions they answer, but it just doesn't look good at all. It doesn't look forthright to just not go. Mm-hmm. I talked to Amy Freeman about this, a representative from New Orleans, and she said that they can subpoena them for future hearings. And I asked her, well, why did y'all give them the option to write a letter to get out of it? And they said, well, we just wanted to invite them first, not come across too strong. You have to come. They invited them. Okay, so LSU should have responded with the same professionalism, and showed up.
Well, they have responded, many of them,
by letter,
including Miriam Seeger, and through her attorney, our dear friend and exceptional legal eagle, Mary Olive Pearson. And
she's a liberal, right? Yeah, that's Mary Olive. I know Mary Olive.
She is a liberal. I think she would.
Well, this isn't a liberal or conservative situation.
But I'm going to make a point.
I think I know what your point's going to be.
Yeah,
but
you think so?
I think I do. But
Ed Orgeron's a liberal.
Well, he's a liberal who supported Donald Trump.
No, he said nice things about Trump. He supported John Bel Edwards.
But John Bel Edwards is not a liberal.
No, he's not. Trump said he was a liberal.
At one time, he was a liberal.
We're veering off into uncharted territory.
But Mary Olive Pearson, in her missive to the committee, says Ms. Seeger's job was to receive and report all complaints regarding misconduct to the appropriate department at LSU.
That's incorrect right there. Go ahead.
She is not a disciplinarian or an investigator, nor is she a policymaker. At LSU, Ms. Seeger has dutifully reported all complaints received by her to the proper departments for further action. And in light of Ms. Seeger's potential and serious claims against Hush Blackwell for its either negligent or intentional misrepresentation of Ms. Seeger's involvement, which have caused her to be suspended for 3 weeks, and the damage to her reputation and her well-respected name, I have advised her to wait until a more appropriate time and forum to address the issues. Roy Fletcher, does Mary Olive have a point?
I think she's defending her client, and that's fine. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with a lawyer defending a client, because lawyers defend the worst people in the world sometimes. That's just the way it is. But I have, here's where, Jim, this is what really bothers me, is that everybody that always hollered every time Trump put a nominee up about whatever they did, where are they now? Where's the governor been? I hadn't heard a word out of him.
Well, he spoke on his radio show and said that all the people who were responsible were gone.
Right. There's not as many bad decisions to have to criticize.
When they gone?
Well, King Alexander's gone. Joe Lieb is gone. Les Miles
is
gone.
I'm sorry, but they're gone. That's funny. That's funny. The stuff is apparently still going on at LSU in other places. You know what? I'm not going to be ugly about it, but I think that he should have been more forthright about where he's at on this issue and demanded LSU, get your butts down there, testify, and I don't care what the deal is here. Now, I will say one other thing. The Board of Supervisors is negligent. The Board of Supervisors had liability issues, personally.
All right, one of the board members, a couple of them, one former, one current, they were called, but just as you can't prevent somebody from testifying, you can't force them.
You can subpoena them.
Back in a moment. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Two seasoned observers of LSU and of Louisiana lore, Glenn Gilbo, native of New Orleans, Rummel High School, LSU, and University of Missouri. Roy Fletcher, man from Shreveport, went to high school with the great Joe Ferguson. Sat by him in class, Ferguson and Fletcher, alphabetical order, Shreveport,
right.
Woodlawn. Natchitoches for college, then to LSU, law degree from the old war school, and he is mystified by some of the things happening at LSU. And today on the Reveille's front page, Athletic Director Scott Woodward, Board of Supervisors member James Williams, Board of Supervisors Executive Director Jason Drotty, former board member Ronnie Anderson, General Counsel, former General Counsel Tom Skinner, Title IX Coordinator Jenny Stewart, Executive Deputy Director of Athletics Virge Osberry, Senior Associate Athletic Director Miriam Seeger, and Head Football Coach Ed Orgeron. All no-shows. And Coach O was called because of the testimony of Gloria Scott, who implicated Darius Geis in a nasty, crude overture at the Superdome and reported it to LSU and wanted Geis to be suspended from the Citrus Bowl. And then a representative saying he was acting on her behalf, Cleavon Williams, asked for money. And some are saying that taints Ms. Scott's testimony, Glenn Gilbo. It was a very powerful presentation. And Coach O, in response, through a spokesman, and originally said conversation never happened. Then he said he didn't remember. And now he's giving a story that's kind of somewhere in the middle. So what do you make of the evolution of the account of this conversation, if it happened, by the coach of Louisiana State University?
Well, he doesn't look like he's telling the complete truth there. And even if he is telling the truth, he's saying that he didn't know the details. That's what he said in his letter to Senator Barrow to get out of the hearing today. He said he didn't know the details. And if you read the letter, it looks like he didn't want to know the details, okay? And I think that's wrong. The coach should try to know everything about their players who are in a situation or accused of something. And it should be noted that the accusations by Gloria Scott, terrible by Geis if he did that. But that's the least serious of the accusations against Geis while he was LSU football. I mean, he was accused of rape by two women when he was a freshman in 2016. So that just tells you a little bit about how much they've covered up Darius Les Miles.
I tell you how far it went. This guy supposedly called and tried to shake down the athletic department of the university for $100,000. Is that wasn't that the story?
That's reported, yes.
Yes.
Well, there are tapes of it.
Yes. But, huh?
There are tapes of it.
And wait a minute. And in order to keep the story squashed, LSU, did they call the FBI? Did they call the state police? Who did they call? Ghostbusters? No, because if they had called somebody, the story would have popped right out then. And that's the problem. And that tells you what the situation is with respect to all of that.
Yeah, they cover up everything. Yeah, there's no question about it. And they're still covering up by not going to the hearing today.
But it's not just them. Mm-hmm. It's broad in this. It's just broad. I'm amazed by it. Broad.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. Randy and Zachary. Been waiting patiently. Randy, you're on the air with Roy Fletcher and Glenn Gilbo.
Yes, I just want to say something to quote Justice Louis Brandeis to the fact of sunshine being the best disinfectant. I think this certainly applies here.
All right. Thank you.
Certainly does, Lou. That certainly does.
Yeah. Mary Patricia Ray says, thank you, Roy Fletcher, for your comments. We need more clear nonpartisan supporters for survivors of sexual assault and harassment. Subpoena power continues, Mary Patricia, from this committee does not this committee does not have subpoena power that is extended to only standing committees, as this is not classified as a standing committee of the Senate. But they could bring witnesses before a standing committee too. But
yes,
right
could.
Now they're on lockdown, and the suit has not even been filed yet.
No, the response is over. It's like, you know, somebody got attacked at the border and somebody dropped a nuclear bomb. I mean, it's overreactive to this whole thing. And it just, again, demonstrates the compelling urge to cover this up or to squash this.
Frank and Zachary. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm trying to figure out what's the legislature's role in all of this. I'm guessing it's oversight over the university system. Is that the purpose of all of this?
Yes, that is the responsibility of the legislature, and they are inclined to pursue this, and they are.
Where's the Board of Supervisors? Have we heard anything from the Board of Supervisors about any of that? Now, they're going to meet Saturday. But I mean, what are they doing?
Well, some of them were invited to the hearing today, and they also declined.
They declined too,
right?
Does that mean they know?
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean they know or don't know. They're just not showing.
We don't know what they know, but what do you know, and when did you know it?
But Roy, you're one of the best political advisors I know. If you were advising one of these people, I suspect you wouldn't be telling them to show, would you?
I would have to listen to their stories very closely, and
it's not a court hearing. I mean, it's a hearing.
It's a hearing.
I think they show.
Well, we're journalists, though.
As a lawyer,
I think they should show as a good faith, but not necessarily answer every question. They could get up there and not answer all the questions.
That's a good way to kind of split that, baby. I got to tell you,
at least I went.
Okay, yeah. Henry at the Country Club. Henry, good morning.
Oh.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Glenn. Good morning, Mr. Roy. It's great hearing Mr. Roy up this morning. Look here, I was going to bring two things. First of all, we all know that if you go talk to a lawyer about a problem you have, first thing he's going to do is tell you to keep your mouth shut.
Correct.
So I'm sure they're all following their legal advice. Second of all, if I'm not mistaken, I could be, and I hope Mr. Roy is sitting down for this because I don't want him to hurt himself laughing. I understand that Miss Merriam reported that alleged shakedown to campus security.
I don't know the details of the alleged shakedown.
No, I don't think so. Okay. She reported the incident by Geist to LSU police, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the incident with the what?
Morgan Lemondre of Star was on this show yesterday, and she's a lawyer, and she said, I think made a good point, that if LSU has a tape of this conversation, they probably have tapes of other conversations.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, it's not like you just brought
in
the
tape. Well, they won't be
recorder.
The first people from LSU on
the
tape.
It's obvious in the tape that they're trying to get Gloria Scott's representation for money. Because Merriam keeps saying, how much, how much? And then Verge comes on, how much? You know, they wanted to know how much to get her on tape to make him look bad.
Well,
but that's one thing. But to hold the tape and mm-hmm. I mean, it's clear, right. Clearly they're committing shakedown on a phone. Well, I mean, that's a federal violation. Come on, guys.
How did guys stay on the team, Glenn?
Yeah, that's what's amazing. He, you know, again, if they didn't know of the accusations they should have. And one of the problems is that Miriam Seeger, and this is what was brought out in the Hush Blackwell report when Mark Schmidt, the lead investigator, compared LSU to Baylor. They had too many people in the athletic department making decisions. And Miriam Seeger was the go-between between the accusations against football players and if they got to the Title IX office. And that was not her job. And that's why she was no longer involved in that. So I don't think Mary Olive Pearson realizes that.
Glenn, can you answer that? I have been told, and I'm not certain about this, but I've been told that if a complaint is filed against, let's say, an employee files a complaint against a person, a supervisor, you know, a higher person, that the defendant in that situation has the right to tell HR that he does not want his file to be made in any way public, or he or she, to be made public. In other words, they control the defendant controls.
Yeah, what universities want across the nation is they want people to make complaints to them so they can keep it quiet for the victim as well.
We'll return in just a moment.
Yeah, I want to talk about it.
This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. There is still a committee hearing scheduled, and we'll see what happens as Regina Barrow assembles her fellow lawmakers with a number of witnesses who were called who will not be there, ordered by LSU to stay away. Sharon Lewis is on the list, and she, of course, is on the outs with LSU, and she may very well show, or she may also comply and say, look, there are legal matters, and she is the center of it. The suit that, or perhaps multiple suits that she has detailed her grievances, they have not yet been filed, but that supposedly is imminent, and we'll see. And that's why Glenn Gilbo had to dart out of here. He's headed to the committee hearing. But Roy's with us, Roy Fletcher, for a few more moments, and we'll also hear from Mark Ballard. 877-217-5757. I know we've got some folks who've been waiting for a while. So Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. This topic continues to be discussed, and I thank you, gentlemen, for continuing to keep it up front, because this has to be eradicated. Question, do you think that Darius Geis's stuff, very much like the Democrats have taken Confederate statues off of their pedestals and so on, I think Darius Geis's stuff should be wiped out completely, his records. Like, he never existed. He never came to LSU. And secondly, if lawsuits arise from this, I think Les Miles should be sued by LSU as well to recover some of the money that is going to cost LSU to settle all these lawsuits that are.
All right. Thank you, Gustavo.
Let me take the second one first. I'm not sure that LSU is going to be suing Les Miles for anything, given the fact that discovery may indicate that LSU, which apparently they did, there were people at LSU that knew what Les was up to. Because remember, what was Joe Oliva said in 2013, email, firing. It was over this.
Right.
So people knew.
Now, Coach Miles says this is untrue, and he too has the chance to sue if he wishes.
He has every chance in the world to sue. And then we get into discovery, and we're going to find a lot of stuff about everything, which is fine with me. Everybody can sue everybody. I don't care. we're not going to get the information any other way, apparently. But there's a report out there that Mark reported on that nobody can get their hands on with respect to Title IX problems.
All right. David in Shenandoah. David, you're on with Roy.
Good morning,
David. Good morning, David.
I was just going to say it appears like we have the cart before the horse, and it would be prudent for the Board of Supervisors to go ahead and just get an independent counsel before they proceed, at least as an attempt to protect the integrity of the university.
They have lawyers. They've got lots of lawyers. I mean, and some of them are lawyers.
We're going to protect the integrity of the university. Somebody got to have a big job. I think that's going to be the president's. Better be damn president's job to protect the integrity of the, and, like, clean it up. because that's what they got a problem with. And the chancellor as well, the, whatever the new chancellor, whoever. That,
well,
I don't know what
right
they're
now
doing.
It's still the same person.
The same person,
and as
yeah.
you noted, they have problems in Shreveport as
now,
well.
Now, Board of Supervisors is meeting Saturday, and I think there's something going on with the Board of Supervisors today. Some, you know, Zoom, whatever you call that, you know, where you don't come mm-hmm. to the place, you do it. And so I don't know what's coming out of there. But, I, you know, if the Board of Supervisors meet Saturday, I think that the governor needs to make a statement today or tomorrow and make damn sure they understand and the public understands exactly where he is on this thing. And so everybody will know. And also,
well, I think we know where he is.
I don't know where he is.
Well, we know he doesn't condone what happens.
No, well, nobody condones what
right,
happens.
Right, except, but what should a governor do in a case like this?
I mean, I think that in this situation, and I thought it 2 years ago, I think that the governor should interject himself into this situation and start demanding some responsibility and accountability, because If the system is such that there is no transparency, who is going to assure accountability of the system? And that seems to me that when you see that, a governor goes, by God, y'all get y'all's business straight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the public knows that the governor is intensely concerned with what's going on. And if I were a Democrat, I damn sure would be doing it.
Or a Republican.
Either one.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I'm with Glenn on this. This shouldn't be a partisan situation, but as we know, it often
yeah things. I mean, but I don't see it as a partisan. I see it as a freedom issue. That's the way I see it.
Well,
people have the ability to work mm-hmm. and prosper and not be intimidated.
Well, the governor is a graduate of West Point, and if anything like this happened at West Point, heads would roll.
Immediately.
They would be fired immediately.
Absolutely.
Court-martial.
Court-martial, whatever the hell they do. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
beaten at the stake. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, you're right. You're right.
Okay, well, why don't you stay with us? Mark Ballard is with us, and he has the story that is above the fold today. Mark, the Capital Bureau editor for The Advocate, which has done exceptional work. Law firm under fire as scandal grows. LSU board members want to drop Taylor Porter after 80 years of representing university. Mark, tell us more.
Well, that kind of brings, I think, it brings up the whole issue of the Board of Supervisors. And Roy keeps asking who should be in charge. And, well, it should be them. The Board of Supervisors have the actual legal fiduciary right and responsibility to handle this. And what some of the board members are saying is that they were not told about any of this, and they were not told by any of this, in their words, because of legal advice. And I think, you know,
well,
that may have been what it's in the past, but now they need to kind of step up and take control of this.
But there have been reports that the previous governor, Bobby Jindal, knew about Les Miles and didn't do anything. And some of his board members also knew. And Coach Miles was the proverbial sacred cow. He didn't get punished for things that, if he did them, he should have been fired for. So
he started losing. That's his problem.
Well, but he was 2-2 when he lost. And but at LSU, that's not good enough. But you're right. It all ultimately comes down to wins and losses for a football coach, unfortunately. But This problem didn't start with Governor John Bel Edwards. It's been around a long time, and there is a job open to run the university who will serve at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors, but that person could end up being the person who can start cleaning things up. And right now, it appears, Mark, that process has been stalled too.
Yeah, it does seem like it has been stalled as far as who they're going to choose. And I want to bring up that they, you know, questions about whether or not it should be one job or two. I mean, at least some of the supervisors, we don't know if all of them did, because I don't think they ever actually voted on it, think that it ought to be the one job. And there are others that think that it should be broken up, as it had been for hundreds of years before, having a chancellor running academics and then having an administrator just running the system and the business part of it. And right now, you got to ask yourself, would a first-rate candidate for either of those jobs want to come to LSU?
James in Metairie. Hi, James. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, James.
Hi, good morning to you, Jim. Jim, about a month ago, a writer by the name of Dan Wetzel on Yahoo Sports, pretty much insightful into what's going on there. This is massive corruption. A longtime football staff member said the important thing, what they focused on, was protecting the LSU brand above all else. You got to be loyal to LSU. We love it so much. That's why they let it go on. Ends justifying the means, Jim.
Well, we all love LSU. That's probably everybody on this call right now speaking on the air. There are times when you have to.
If you love it, you try to make sure it's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And what he just said was, I remember that article he's talking about, and it dawns on me that Wexel, don't just confine that to the athletic department. It's time to look at that whole university system. It ain't right. Something's wrong here. Bad wrong.
Yeah, we are going to be seeing more and more of these sexual misconduct allegations outside of the athletic department, which is where they've been confined so far. But I believe that we're going to start seeing them in other academic departments all over the university.
Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I guess what's disheartening about all these sexual allegations that are coming out 4 or 5 years later is it seems like a bunch of trial lawyers getting together so they can sue a university, which ultimately is the taxpayers and people that had nothing to do with this are going to end up paying the bill. I'm tired of paying for this university with our tax money. It needs to become a private university, and it's basically become a glorified professional football team. It's not really a university anymore. I know it's good for Tiger Rad magazines, but, you know, it's just get rid of the football program, become a university. They need to focus on academics, and the taxpayers need to quit paying for this university.
All right. Well, the football team's not going anywhere, Patrick. I can safely say
that is a prediction I'll concur.
That is one that I would bet my life on, but Patrick does have a overriding view that is not shared that is not unique to him. He speaks for a lot of people, Mark.
Well, but not me. I kind of agree with him on the football team. You know that maybe we ought to just shut that down for a while. But I also agree with you and Roy that it'll never happen. But LSU is a public university and needs to be a public university. It needs to be accessible to help pull people up, and the problems that we have seen in this is that they've been acting like a private business, and I'm not one to blame the trial lawyers on it, but I'm blaming the supervisors and the leadership at LSU kept it closed.
All right, we do have to pause briefly, but we will return. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is with us. Roy Fletcher is going into overtime with us, and we'll be back after this brief pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're going into the last stretch with Mark Ballard and Roy Fletcher, and there is a session starting Monday, and Governor John Bel Edwards will begin his 7th session as governor of the great state of Louisiana. And Mark Ballard, as we look at what's going on, how much of the LSU chicanery is going to overshadow anything happening at the Capitol?
That's right. We do have a session starting on Monday. I imagine it's going to overshadow a lot. LSU and all of the public universities have to go to the legislature hat hand for funding. And I imagine that this is going to bleed over into that funding.
Okay.
The main issue, however, will be revamping the tax system. So I don't think it's going to get quite the ink that LSU is going to be getting.
And I misspoke a moment ago. Actually, the 6th regular session for Governor Edwards, who will have 2 years remaining after this, unless he gets elected to the U.S. Senate. who knows? He may be on the campaign trail in short order, but he gives no indication that he's going to do that, Mark.
No, I think that's a question for Roy. He's in tune with what's going on in the political world than I am, but I've not heard any inkling of that from the Edwards people. I hear a lot of it from Democrats and some Republicans in general.
John Kennedy's biggest challenge might be within his own party, Roy.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Garrett Graves runs against him.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think that that's going to happen. And I certainly don't think it would be a sort of a moderate that would run against him. A more moderate like Graves. I think it'd be probably on the right.
Really, the right of Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of those guys who might fit that bill, who actually opened the prospect of doing it, he would certainly be a dashing figure on the campaign trail, is the actor John Schneider, who now lives in Livingston Parish.
He sure would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you imagine, they often say about people, he looks like a movie star, she looks like a movie star. Well, he is a movie star.
one of the great, weekly programs that we had back in the day.
Well, he speaks well. But some of the items on the agenda at the Capitol, Mark, are fascinating. Here's one that is also showcased in today's LSU Reveille. The head of Louisiana's House Education Committee has introduced a bill to make it illegal to teach about systemic racism and sexism at Louisiana universities and K-12 schools that receive state funds. This is Ray Garofalo. What do you make of this one?
Well, I think that it has a very good chance of proceeding. Ray Garofalo is one of the more conservative members of the House. He's also the chairman of the Education Committee, and so therefore carries a lot of weight, and I think this is something that will probably make it through the process.
Well, the good news is that LSU is already teaching something about systemic something.
Oh, well.
I'll just say it that way.
Tongue-in-cheek from Roy Fletcher, but there are bills pertaining to prostitution and to marijuana legalization. Are those going anywhere, Mark?
Well, my handicapping on those two bills is that both of them will get a lot of ink. I mean, we will report on it breathlessly, but I don't think that legalized recreational marijuana use has got a chance, and neither does prostitution. I think these are being made mostly to kind of make a statement.
Well, it often seems lawmakers get sidetracked, and we do have a case in which people are jockeying to succeed John Bel Edwards, and even though he's a proverbial lame duck, he doesn't have the best hand to play. Roy worked for David Treen, and it's kind of Edwards is kind of Treen in reverse. He's a Democrat with a Republican-controlled legislature. What can he do to get his way?
Find ways to propose things that Republicans can't oppose, and Bill Clinton was an expert at that. Mm-hmm. It called triangulation.
All right, a listener asks Mark and Roy. This is Tom on Bluebonnet. Will there be a move in Louisiana to change any election laws as the legislatures in Georgia and Texas did?
I think there's going to be a move for it, but I don't think that it's going to be successful. The difference between Georgia and Louisiana is that, just as you mentioned, there's a Democratic governor in Louisiana, and I think that any of those Georgia-like restrictions put on the voting system is going to end up on his desk is going to be vetoed. And I don't think that the legislature has enough. Even though it is a Republican majority, they are not going to be able to override a veto on that particular issue. So I think that's kind of, that's going to be dead if it arrives on the fourth floor.
Another listener asked about reapportionment, but the census is not yet complete, and that has to happen first. So we could be talking about next year on that. But once again,
that seems to be the thinking right now.
That's right.
We're looking at 2022.
Yeah.
But the governor will probably have different ideas than does the Republican legislature.
Well, I mean, what's going to happen, and Roy knows this as well, is that the Republicans are going to try to put every single Republican they can into these districts so that they can increase their majority, and the Democrats are going to try to break up those majorities the best that they can.
Yeah, and but it's going to be a difficult problem for the Republicans, and that's just a fact. It's going to be difficult.
All right. Daryl downtown says U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy has called on the Small Business Administration to open an investigation into Paycheck Protection Program loans awarded to Planned Parenthood affiliates. He has penned a letter to the editor published in the Houma Courier. So Bill Cassidy going after Planned Parenthood. Is he trying to regain his conservative bona fides, Roy Fletcher?
I would say so. I mean, he better.
He better?
He better. He better.
Well, your former friend, now current friend,
current,
former colleague, Ray Strother, says Cassidy might run for governor.
Good, whatever.
Do you think he would be viable?
I think it would be, No, I don't. He messed up? I think he kind of messed up, yeah.
Now, Mark, you and I and a lot of other people probably thought he did the right thing, but in Louisiana, we are in a minority. Roy might be right.
Well, he might be. In fact, he would be one that I would call to ask, what do you think on that? The thing about Cassidy and Garrett Graves and some of the others that we claim are moderate are actually more conservative than we think. They are actually practical as opposed to moderate, and I think that's what we saw with Cassidy.
Well, fair statement.
But Graves, who I think on most issues is a practical person, but on the hard right to red meat issue of whether Joe Biden won fair and square, he's yet to say that, Roy Fletcher.
He sure is, isn't he? He sure is.
He's not going to bite that bullet if he doesn't have to.
No, well, no. And I mean, it's foregone now, so it didn't matter. You know.
Well, a listener asked, what can our federal representatives do as far as this LSU situation? Should Cassidy and Kennedy and Graves be talking about this? Cedric Richmond was the representative.
I think everybody should be talking about it, frankly. Because, I mean, it's just me. I mean, I take it very seriously. You talk about Kennedy was not an LSU graduate, and Graves not. And I don't know where Cassidy, I think, graduated from LSU med school.
Twice graduated.
Yeah, so, but I think that all need to be talking about it and need to be talking about it in a way that demands transparency and demands a fundamental change with respect to the way that whole system works in terms of the sexual harassment and so on and so forth.
We're 16 days from a congressional runoff between Troy Carter and Karen Carter Peterson. How do you see that, Mark?
I can't handicap that one. It's going to be a close race, I think. So it's basically Troy Carter has more of the in-state support among Democrats, and Karen Carter Peterson has more of the traditional support among the National Democratic Party. Also has the mayor of New Orleans and
Gary Chambers also endorsed her, and he finished third.
Yes,
but she was a distant second to Troy Carter. Does it really matter?
No, it really don't matter. But the fact is that my gut tells me that Carter wins that race, and probably wins that race because Carter probably will get, can we just say it the way it is, probably get more white vote. There will be a close race among African-Americans, but there's still a significant number of whites in that district, and I think Carter will pick up the vast majority of those. Yeah, I do think he'll win.
Troy Carter, who is backed by Cedric Richmond, and as Mark said, many of the in-state people are supporting him, but Stacey Abrams, who, as we know, carries a lot of mojo, she's backing Karen Carter Peterson.
All right.
As is Gary Chambers, as are others. And There are some debates, and it will be interesting to follow, but we're getting closer and closer to that 2 weeks from Saturday. Mark, thank you so much, as always, for your Thursday visit. Thank you for going into overtime, Roy Fletcher.
My pleasure.
First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support until tomorrow for Matt Doyle. I'm Jim Inkster. Stay safe and stay tuned.